Now, a special report, School Integration, A Day of Decision. For the next half hour, we'll examine the ruling that was handed down today in the Los Angeles school integration case. A 17-year-long courtroom effort climaxing today with a ruling from Judge Paul Egli. The new integration plan for Los Angeles district schools involves some new ideas about dividing the district into smaller units. KNX News Radio reporter John Goodman explains.
In his ruling, Judge Egli said that because of the limited success of the plan now in operation and his rejection of the district's proposed voluntary plan, it was his unpleasant duty to set forth guidelines. Judge Egli says it is his hope his guidelines will desegregate the district in such a way as to include as many racially isolated schools as is reasonable and feasible. Reasonable and feasible integration were broad guidelines previously set down by the state Supreme Court. First, the judge's order is that the school integration plan be expanded from grades 4 through 8 to include grades 1 through 12. The judge divided the school district into 11 areas, four of which would be substantially unavailable for desegregation through reasonable and feasible means. While the scope of mandatory busing is being increased, the length of the busing distances is being reduced. It is the judge's intent that students will only be transferred from one school to another within one of the 11 districts that will be created. Mandatory travel time for students, says the judge, should be about equal, and the board is being urged to scrap its neighborhood pickup system in favor of providing only school-to-school transportation. The judge is allowing the permit with transportation program, which is voluntary, to continue, but only after mandatory student assignments have been made. Under the judge's order, PWT will be available only to those students who are not mandatorily assigned. It is Judge Egli's order that the desegregation process begin in the 1980-81 school year, with the exception of students presently in high school. Those students will be allowed to enroll and graduate at their present schools. Mandatory provisions at the high school level will start with the 10th grade beginning in the fall of 1981. The present district-wide magnet programs will be allowed to continue, provided they meet the guidelines and are desegregated as the judge defines. The school board will be allowed to devise individual desegregation plans for each area as long as each is consistent with the judge's order, saying that knowing the impossibility of creating any plan which would include all minority isolated schools, Judge Egli said that the plan to be instituted must contain equality in all possible instances between those schools included within the desegregation process and the minority isolated schools. Judge Egli instructed the board that for reasons of development of his plan, it shall have the first importance in all business coming before the board.
Reaction to Judge Egli's ruling has been swift and at times heated. KNX News Radio reporter Jerry Laird has part of that story.
The pro-mandatory integration forces represented by the ACLU and the NAACP hailed Judge Egli's order with reservations. ACLU Executive Director Ramona Ripston called it a very progressive decision which recognized the grievances of minority children, recognized that voluntary desegregation doesn't work, that all grades should be included, that bilingual education should be universal. It held the Board of Education responsible for white flight, and it urged moving forward with a metropolitan plan beyond the boundaries of the L.A. district.
Another part of this decision, I mean, as we talk, there are all sorts of things this decision says. Another part of the decision says that the board must spend the same amount of money on each pupil, whether the pupil is in the San Fernando Valley or in Watts. So that's a great step forward because we've never had that principle recognized in this district before either.
A legal victory, declared NAACP President Paul Hudson, but we still have the same segregation. He said areas 8, 9, 10, and 11, South Central and East Los Angeles, will see no dramatic desegregation. Mandatory busing within these areas, he said, will just mean busing black and Latin children around. With no white students, there will be no real integration. ACLU attorney Fred Okren noted a supreme irony in the new Egli plan.
It doesn't reach, for example, Jordan High School, which is the school for which we brought the lawsuit in the first place. But we are satisfied with the order from the standpoint of the court vindicating the legal principles that have to be vindicated in this district.
Ramona Ripston, too, saw the judge's order as rewarding for the long fight against the school board.
They can't be happy with this, but this plan says that they are responsible for white flight. The judge has found de jure segregation, that is, that the school boards along the way have committed deliberate acts. They can't be happy with this decision because they have been indicted. They have been totally indicted.
Ms. Ripston was right that board member Richard Ferraro, long an opponent of mandatory busing, was not happy with the judge's desegregation order.
Every mandatory plan, and this is, to my knowledge, the most encompassing overall order of mandatory implementation of busing, mandatory busing, that I've ever seen, and all mandatory plans have failed, whether it's in Pasadena, Inglewood, Detroit, Dayton, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, Atlanta, everywhere where a mandatory busing program has been involved, it's been an utter failure. If you're considering the educational program of young people and the possibility of implementing integration, the only integration plan that will work is if it's sound educationally, if it's a voluntary plan, encouraging young people to understand and respect one another and their ethnic background.
The board's opposition continued to center on mandatory busing to whatever location. Bobby Fiedler originated the bus stop group to oppose busing, and she rode that vehicle to a seat on the school board.
You're taking little tiny kids, six-year-olds, five and a half and six-year-old babies away from their home, sticking them on buses to travel across, away from their community for a few hours of education each day, totally disrupting the entire concept of a neighborhood school. And I think that it spells the end of public education in Los Angeles unless we get this order overturned. And that's going to be where I'm going to direct my efforts in the next few days and weeks ahead.
The ACLU and the NAACP say they do not contemplate an appeal yet, that the ruling at least is a beginning toward desegregation. The ACLU's Ramona Ripston does not believe a board appeal would succeed.
If what Bobby Fiedler is hoping for is a stay of this order, in terms of stays and desegregation cases, the stays are on the side, are usually not granted. I mean, I think that we will prevail on that issue in terms of a stay.
The ACLU says the Board of Education can have Egley's plan in place by September if it acts in good faith. Attorney Okrand and Director Ripston were asked, what if the board drags its feet and simply does not come up with a way to meet Egley's order?
Well, if the board violates the court order, it's in contempt of court.
But what happens?
She'll go to jail.
She'll go to jail. I mean, there are all kinds of remedies. You remember one of your colleagues went to jail for refusing to comply with a court order?
I mean, what
for a long time.
In terms of desegregation,
if the board should become that.
Oh, they'll all go to jail.
But he's asking a question as to what happens to desegregation in September. I think at that time the court will have no alternative but to absolutely take it over completely and do as we had asked him to do 3 years ago,
and that is
draft the plan.
Although the ACLU does not plan to appeal, it does expect to seek changes in Egley's plan.
We're going to urge upon the court to accept some of the simulations we presented to it in which we will have transportation across that Mulholland Drive boundary. That's the big barrier at the moment.
Egley's order today, said NAACP attorney Joe Duff, takes us back to where we should have been 2 years ago. Court-ordered mandatory busing to start desegregating Los Angeles schools.
There was plenty of other reaction, too. KNX reporters Walt Hoffman, Barry Rode, and Diane Cummings talked with teachers and principals who deal with integration problems on a constant daily basis. First, we hear from Walt Hoffman.
Pacoima Elementary School at the corner of Van Nuys Boulevard and Norris Street is currently coupled with Beckford Avenue Elementary in Northridge and Mayall Street Elementary in Sepulveda. Pacoima fourth grade teacher Mary Hunter is not sure just what improvements will come from Judge Egley's plan. Ms. Hunter says she would like youngsters to attend the same school for grades 4 through 6 instead of moving around each year as they now do. Ms. Hunter criticizes the Board of Education for, in her words, not preparing most of the teachers for desegregation, saying many of them are culturally deprived.
And they just absolutely do not know how to work with other races of children other than their own. Consequently, I mean, it is a learning process that it entirely takes too long. Multicultural education should have been in effect for teachers at least 6 years before this plan even went into effect.
Ms. Hunter says such teachers will run into tremendous problems and the youngsters will suffer. Not far away on Laurel Canyon Boulevard is Pacoima Junior High School, which is paired with Patrick Henry Junior High in Granada Hills under the current plan. Principal William Zazueta says the main problem has been the uneven exchange of students. This year, 380 were sent to Patrick Henry, while only 80 came from that school. Zazueta tells KNX News Radio he has some misgivings about Judge Egley's plan.
One of the concerns we have is the identity of youngsters, how they will identify with their home school. And this makes it practically impossible. It brings questions as to where do they graduate from? Which school do they really belong to? The complete identity will disappear. And this is our concern.
Zazueta says he would not want to see his current eighth graders shifted to another school for the ninth grade because that would mean traveling two of their 3 years in junior high while the other students would have been bused for only 1 year. Covering another elementary school in the San Fernando Valley was KNX News radio reporter Barry Rode.
For 2 years, the Melvin Street School in Reseda has sent its fourth graders to Arlington Heights in the Crenshaw area. Sixth graders have gone to Tarzana, and fifth graders have been at Melvin. Because the judge has narrowed the boundaries for transportation, it appears as though Arlington Heights would leave this particular triad. Melvin Street Principal Harold Triggerman hopes that isn't the case.
Parents are most effective in all three communities, and we would feel somewhat at loss losing the parents that we had in the past because we are all set up to work and improve our skills for our youngsters, and if we had to be involved in a new school program with other schools from a different area, it would just be 2 years behind the time because we've already put in our 2 years with this particular group of schools.
Triggerman figures a Van Nuys area school might be moved into the triad, meaning bilingual teachers would have to be sought. Also under the ruling, first, second, and third grades will be integrated, meaning a swap of more classes in the triad, whatever the schools involve. Harold Triggerman doesn't know at this point how parents of those youngsters will react. The first triad was put together hastily, so Triggerman feels a new one could also be ready by the fall. This is Barry Rode, and now to Diane Cummings with a view from another school in the triad.
Douglas Crow, principal of Arlington Heights Elementary School, sees changes and complications ahead. He tells KNX News Radio he's been proud of the triad, which claims a high 50% participation this year.
We don't know who our partner will be. Obviously, it may have complications having the same triad, the additional grade levels. We consider this one of the outstanding triads in the city. It has worked. Participation has been doubled. And now uncertainty is the most important first reaction.
One of those instrumental in developing the triad among Arlington Heights, Melvin Avenue, and Tarzana is Mary Kipe. Her story is unique. Her family is one of a very few white families living in the Crenshaw area. In fact, until the desegregation plan was started, her son was the only white child in his class. The issue of integration for Mrs. Kipe is personal.
My children have had the experience of living and going to school in a minority community, and I have seen the personal benefits that have accrued to them in terms of their enrichment to their lives. It is important to me also because having lived in a minority community and having had my children go to minority schools, I see the kinds of harms that result to children when they're educated in an isolated setting.
The teachers at Arlington Heights basically approve of Judge Egley's plan. Two of them, listening to KNX inside their classrooms, opened second floor windows and cheered when it was announced he'd abandoned the board's voluntary program. On the other hand, they feel it's ironic that the very area the Crawford case addressed, the ghetto, is being left out. Diane Cummings, KNX News Radio.
One person whose reaction to the Egley ruling may reflect the direction that the Los Angeles School Board will take in its official response is the president of the board, Roberta Weintraub. KNX News Radio reporter Jake Jacobs talked with her.
Mrs. Roberta Weintraub says the judge's order does nothing for public education and may hasten its demise in Los Angeles. Appearing downright angry, Mrs. Weintraub said she would support Proposition 9, the state income tax-cutting measure on the June 3rd ballot. Opponents of Proposition 9 say it would reduce funding for public education as well as cut funding in other public areas. Mrs. Weintraub says now that Egley's order is out, people will get angry and vote for Proposition 9 for selfish reasons.
As you are well aware of, we have the initiative process in the state of California. We have already passed Proposition 13. We have passed Proposition 4. Proposition 9 is up for a vote on June 3rd. I absolutely feel that with this mandatory busing plan, this far-reaching plan that just destroys our school system, Proposition 9 will pass, because the only reason why the people have had doubts about 9 was the fact that they felt it would destroy the school system. Now that the judge has effectively done that for us, I'm sure that they'll vote for 9 so they can have enough money to send their kids to private school.
Occupying the most powerful office on the Board of Education, Mrs. Weintraub is in a position to influence the action of the conservative wing of the board, which is in the majority, and there is little doubt that if the board appeals the order, it will get the support of the other three conservative board members, Tom Bartman, Richard Ferraro, and Bobby Fiedler. Jake Jacobs, KNX News Radio.
KNX News Radio reporter Mike Landa went to East Los Angeles to talk with people about the Egley ruling. What he found was negative criticism from those for and against the idea of school busing.
The Hispanic Urban Center provides training for teachers involved in integration. Center Director Henry Gutierrez says Judge Egley's ruling continues to exclude minority kids in East L.A. from the desegregation process.
Our schools were not affected by the plan that was implemented by and large, and they don't appear that they're going to be implemented now. What's new? The struggle for quality education in our community is going to continue.
Gutierrez also views Judge Egley's ruling as both a victory and a defeat.
We won the case. The district was judged to be segregated, intentionally segregated, and yet in the remedy, the schools that are most impacted by that segregation, the most isolated schools, the ones that suffer the greatest harm from that segregation, are not going to be touched by this desegregation order.
Henry Gutierrez says parents of students on the east side want an integration plan that is equitable, where the burden of transportation and reassignment is equally shared by everyone in the district. He says the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that separate is not equal, but Judge Egley is asking minorities to believe that separate can be at least better. In Gutierrez's words, that concept is not acceptable. Opposition to Judge Egley's position comes from another quarter. Teresa Fernandez, chairwoman of the Garfield High School Advisory Council, sees no benefit to busing, even within geographic boundaries.
Why would I want to bus my kid from Belvedere Junior High to Stevenson? Or why would I want to bus my kid from Belvedere Junior High to Hamel Street School when they can walk? So all around, I don't feel that busing will be a benefit as far as education is concerned.
Two views from East Los Angeles on Judge Paul Egley's integration order. Mike Landa, KNX News Radio.
KNX News Radio reporter George Martin spent much of the day collecting reaction to the new integration plan from people involved in Los Angeles District magnet schools.
Judge Egley was not enthusiastic about the use of magnet schools as a means of desegregation, calling them a dismal failure in this regard, particularly in appealing to Hispanic students. He did, however, indicate that they were helpful where they were, in fact, integrated, and in areas where the court had determined that integration is not feasible nor reasonable. His opinion drew favorable comment from two administrators whose magnet schools either now meet the desegregation guidelines or will do so in the fall. One was Hugh Gottfried, principal of the Area 4 Alternative School.
We have met the district guidelines of having at least 40% minority students, nor having over 60% minority students. So it would appear, at least at first glance, that our program will continue as is. Whether or not any further there any further implications from the mandatory and the zones, or of course, I don't know, and maybe no one knows right now. We feel we've got a good program, and we have maintained large waiting lists. And as long as the district will provide the transportation and permit students to enter existing magnet school programs that have met the court standard, we feel we'll continue and continue to provide a good program for the students who are here.
Gottfried said an assessment of other parts of the decision would have to await more information. Sam Marchesa, principal of the 32nd Street USC Magnet School, said that if he understood the decision correctly,
if a magnet school is able to sustain the ethnic ratio, I believe in one instance they said 29% white in a minority school, I think that that's a bright light, because magnet schools have been very effective, and if there is reason to think that they might be disbanded in some way, I think it'd be very tragic to the children of our city.
Marchesa expects the school to attain the prescribed ratio by next September. This is George Martin, KNX News Radio.
Los Angeles School Board member John Greenwood found the Eagley ruling somewhat contradictory. As KNX News Radio reporter Mike Pulsiver explains.
Greenwood talked with KNX News Radio right after reading the entire decision. He indicated part of the ruling left him perplexed. He says Eagley complained that the board's plan was put together too quickly, but then gave the panel 60 days, less time, says Greenwood, than that given to preparing the now-rejected plan, to put together a new plan.
I don't think it can be done in 60 days. I don't think we can do the kind of plan that it would do justice to what he wants us to do. Even given the fact that we don't agree with it, just to try and do what he wants us to do, which legally he said we have to do, is probably impossible within 60 days, and particularly impossible to do that and have the kind of input from parents that we need to make something like this work.
Disagreeing with Greenwood is the court-appointed referee in the school desegregation case. Monroe Price believes the ruling was carefully considered and could provide the basis for successful integration of the Los Angeles School District.
Well, I think this is an example of a judge who's really tried to deliberate hard about one of the most complex problems in the society, and has tried to avail himself of the best resources in the community, both in terms of the involvement of the attorneys, the perceptions he has of community needs, and also the technical resources provided through computer analyses.
Price says whether the plan will work or not is now up to the school board and to the public at large. Mike Pulsifer, KNX News Radio.
While no one seemed overjoyed with the new integration plan, there were enough compromises to promise something for everyone. KNX News Radio reporter Jake Jacobs.
Cliff Fritkus, the lawyer for Bus Stop, feels that all parties involved in the case got half a loaf. Bus Stop's half a loaf was a section of Judge Paul Eagley's order, which brings a halt to long-range busing, but it's the other part of the loaf that concerns Bus Stop.
We're very concerned about the judge's strong hint that there should be a metropolitan plan, and we're most anxious to attack that. His disregarding of Prop 1 and his heavy reliance on mandatory reassignment, even though it'll be limited in distance.
Bus Stop, an intervener in the school desegregation case, presented its own plan to the court calling for an end to the mandatory phase of the program. That, to Fritkus, would have been the whole loaf.
No mandatory reassignment at all.
And that would have satisfied Bus Stop.
That's right. That's right. As for the other portions, the portions for the RIM schools, the racially isolated minority schools, portions on bilingual portions for equalizing funding and so forth, Bus Stop has no issue with any of those things. It's just the mandatory reassignment. This has always been the case.
Attorney Brenda McKenzie of the Integration Project says children have the constitutional right to desegregated schools, and that Judge Eagley denied them that right.
My feeling is that this decision is not the kind of decision that people who won the case should have gotten. It's better than some decisions we could have gotten, but we won this case, and we ought not to get this piddly little draw lines on a map and move people around a little bit within the areas kind of decision, because this is a segregated city. And if you don't include areas that are far away from other areas, that is isolated because they are segregated neighborhoods, then you haven't done anything for the minority students of this district.
Mrs. Marnez Batakit, executive director of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference West, feels that Judge Eglis' order falls far short of effectiveness and, like Bus Stop, denounces the order, but for different reasons.
I think that it is opposed by Bus Stop people simply because they want no desegregation or integration of pupils. I think that we are unhappy with it because we want the desegregation of the schools and integration of the pupils. I'm surprised that the board isn't happy because if you look at the lines as the judge has drawn them in those 11 areas, you will find that he has left all of South Central Los Angeles in South Central Los Angeles, and now he has said the pupils cannot cross those boundary lines. East Los Angeles is locked in even tighter than it was locked in to begin with.
The integration project presented a plan to the court. It called for a tri-ethnic approach to desegregation, a minimum of 20% of whites, browns, and blacks. Eglis did not consider the plan. Jake Jacobs, KNX News Radio.
The official response of the Los Angeles Board of Education was announced a short time ago. KNX News Radio reporter Boyd Harvey says the vote is to fight the ruling in the courts.
Roberta Weintraub, the board president, said the judge's 86-page ruling totally ignored Proposition 1, approved by the voters overwhelmingly. On that basis alone, it had to be appealed. As for the integration plan proposed by Judge Eglis, board member Richard Ferraro said it means the end of the school district. Not once in that document, said Ferraro, before the meeting began, was there a word about the educational program. As Kathleen Brown put it, what Judge Eglis asked is impossible. John Greenwood said even 86 pages isn't enough information.
The judge gave us some general principles and some boundaries in which to supposedly put together a plan.
And a massive order.
And we have a lot of objections to those criteria that he's imposed on us, but he did not give us a plan. We don't have anything to implement. We cannot say to a parent, your child will be bused here, or your child will not be bused, or your child will be doing the same thing as last year, because there's no flesh on this skeleton that the judge gave us.
Board members agreed the board would not defy a court order, but so far there is no order. Rita Walters did not agree with the majority decision to appeal that court action. From the Board of Education, this is Boyd Harvey, KNX News Radio.
So, where do things stand in the generation-long fight to mix the races in Los Angeles schools? Again, reporter John Goodman.
So, 17 years after the original class action suit brought by black students seeking to desegregate Jordan High School, Judge Paul Eglis has set down integration guidelines that apparently completely satisfy no one. Some of those opposed to mandatory busing contend the judge's order finalizes the destruction of the neighborhood school concept in the Los Angeles School District. Some of those seeking expansion of the desegregation plan feel that while much of the judge's order is favorable, its ultimate objective has been lost: total integration of the system. Now, after a recent five-month trial in Los Angeles Superior Court, the case is expected to wind up right where it was 18 months ago before the present integration plan was instituted, in the higher courts. Contending it is impossible to implement, unconstitutional, unfair, and not reasonable or feasible, attorneys concerned with the case say they intend to appeal all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, if necessary.
This has been a special KNX News Radio report, School Integration, A Day of Decision. This is Harry Burrell.